Trolls World Tour was a big success in its initial premium VOD release, but what about the long term? Theatre owners are hopping mad, and we don't know if consumers will still want to buy a disc or digital copy of the movie or all those Trolls dolls. Let's get the discussion started.
To this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from InScreen Media joins me. Hey, Colin, you guys have been having something of a heat wave out there, haven't you?
We have. The weather's been just gorgeous. It was actually up in the 80s earlier in the week, and now it's down in the mid-70s, blue skies, and I gather it's not quite so nice on your side of the country.
No, spring hasn't really sprung yet, but maybe this weekend. I saw some of the pictures, though, of the California beaches. Looked like they were pretty crowded, not a lot of social distancing going on that I could see.
Yeah, we're wrestling with that problem, that's for sure. But there is another thing that wrestles with social distancing, which we're going to talk about today, and that's the whole premium VOD and theater issue with movies. There's been a lot of noise about Trolls World Tour this week, and I know that that was covered quite extensively by the Wall Street Journal. So why don't you catch us up on what's been going on?
Yeah, we've both been really gripped by this story of the success that Universal's movie Trolls World Tour, which for our listeners, if you haven't heard of that, don't feel bad, because I think if you don't have young kids, it may not be on your radar. Universal made the decision, in light of the pandemic closing down all the movie theaters, to release the movie direct to consumer in the so-called premium video on demand style. And that's been something Universal has actually been pushing for some time. And the Wall Street Journal published some information about how well the movie had done. And actually, it was pretty eye-opening. They did pretty well. The journal was estimating that they've had about 5 million rentals thus far at $20 a piece. That's about $100 million in revenue. And in the PVOD model, Universal is estimated to keep about 80%. So the journal was estimating that they've kept around 77 million to 80 million in revenue from the PVOD release of Trolls World Tour in the first 3 weeks. And they were actually comparing that to the original Trolls movie, which apparently in its five-month run in domestic theaters grossed about $154 million. But because Universal only keeps about 50% in theatrical release, that would be about the same, give or take, 80 million, 75, 80 million, that Universal would have kept. So the point here is that here with the sequel, the PVOD release schedule made about the same amount of money for Universal in 3 weeks as the original movie did in 5 months in theaters. And so this has led to, it seems, a lot of discord between Universal and the two largest theater chains in the country, AMC and Regal, which have basically said that if Universal continues to use this PVOD strategy, that it will refuse entirely to show any of Universal's movies. And, it's one thing when movie theaters are closed due to the pandemic, but when movie theaters are open again, to potentially not have that option to show your movies in the two biggest theaters in the country, that would seem like a pretty big kind of scary prospect for any studio. So there's been a real kind of war of words going on this week. And you and I are really intrigued by this because, of course, this is yet another outcome of the pandemic. But it's also, and we'll talk about this a little bit more here, but also another example of how viewers' expectations are changing. And the idea that you could rent a movie for $20 for the whole family versus paying maybe $50 or $60 for a family of four or five plus concessions means that it's more than kind of an economic thing that has always been the pitch for PVOD, that maybe there's, with the pandemic, there's some other value props coming in now also, like safety or comfort or other things like that. So we're sort of seeing this play out right in front of us, Colin. What's your take?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. And I've got to tell you, Will, the PVOD debate has been going on for a very long time in the industry. I've been tracking this quite closely because, as you know, one of the things I love to do is I love to track the performance of home entertainment in general. So DEG has some great numbers there, and I usually track home movie sales and both digital and physical and rentals and all the rest. And one of the things that has been pretty clear from those numbers is that consumers have been taking money that they used to spend on renting and buying movies, and they're transferring that to SVOD, and that has really done a great job in growing SVOD tremendously. But it has really seen a big contraction. It's certainly in the rental market. And also, in the purchase market. So if you go back and compare how much people spent on discs, 10 years ago, and compare how much they're now spending on disc and digital today, it's much, much smaller number. I think it was around 30% over the last 8 years, a decline in the amount of people are spending on buying. And it may be higher than that. So as the transactional market for movies has contracted and the SVOD market has expanded, the debate about premium VOD has grown as a way of diffusing the impact of SVOD on the movie industry. And so far, the industry has really resisted the idea of doing advanced releases like this, and certainly not day and date releases as is the case with Trolls, although of course there was no release in theaters. So in this case, it's an even more extreme example. Without question, the C-19 stay-at-home orders have accelerated this. And in fact, it's very interesting. I was talking to John Geigengack at Hub Entertainment Research, and they did a poll March 18th and 19th, and they asked people 16 to 74-year-olds, they asked, how interested would you be in a way to watch brand new movies at home for the same price as seeing them in the theater? And what they found basically was 3/4 of the people they spoke to said that they would be very interested. And in more interesting is those that said that they had a heightened sense of caution to the virus. And these are people who knew somebody who had the virus or, had been more directly impacted by it. Almost 95% of those people said that they would be very, very interested. 88% of parents and 83% of those expecting a drop in personal income. So they fielded this poll, I think, around about the same time that Trolls World Tour, actually a little bit before Trolls World Tour was released. And the data from Trolls World Tour really seems to back up this is a very, very interesting model to consumers when they're locked up in their homes. So I think that the success isn't a real big surprise to me, Will. I think it is forcing the conversation about PVOD to be taken much more seriously, which understandably is very upsetting to theatre owners. because they're really strapped at the moment. I mean, it's hard to see where theatre owners can reliably deliver an audience. It's certainly several months away. If you think about it, well, some governors are saying that theatre owners should reopen. Right now, those theatre owners are resisting that and saying, no, they will not. And even when they do, it's unclear when audiences are going to come back in quantity. It was interesting. There was last week, there was some data released on when sports fans thought that they would feel comfortable going back to live sport, to watch live sports in stadiums. And so this poll asked them under what condition. And basically what it came back and said was that 3/4 of them wouldn't attend live sports until there was a COVID-19 vaccine. And I got a feeling it could be the same for theatre audiences. So I know personally, the worst cold I've had in 10 years, I contracted in a theatre from a guy who was sitting behind me coughing the whole way through. A week later, I had that same cough. So these are breeding grounds for people catching viruses. And how cool will people think it is if going to a theatre, they have to obey social distancing and wear a mask? You know, wouldn't they rather stay home? And I think for a lot of people, that will be the case, that they would rather stay home and watch it in their home. So it's really hard to see when theatre owners are going to be able to offer the size of audiences that they have in the past. So
yeah,
it's really a tough situation, Will.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is a tough situation. And you mentioned, you know, how appealing is it going to be to go to a theater and wear a mask and have to sit separately from other people, you know, maybe including the people that you came to the theater with. But then on top of that, you're going to pay potentially whatever it is, you know, $10, $15 per ticket time plus concessions versus the $20 to rent the movie and watch it at home. So it does seem like the movie theater experience is going to be challenged for a while. And there are other studios seem to be taking all types of different approaches. I mean, Universal seemed to be pretty aggressive in the decision with Trolls World Tour, but there are other movies that are coming up also. It looks like the movie Scoob from Warner Brothers is going to go straight to digital. That's going to come out in a couple of weeks on May 15th. Disney has a movie that is called Artemis Fowl that is going to, looks like that's going to skip going to theaters. It's going to go, it's actually not going to be available for rental. Instead, it's going to go straight into the Disney Plus service. So that's going to certainly be a big bargain for, a big bargain for viewers, for subscribers to the service. But you have to believe that as the virus lockdown continues, the longer it goes, the more that studios are going to want to go to digital. They're going to want to capitalize on this window as opposed to having finished product sitting on their shelves waiting for, you know, a kind of an open-ended situation, as you were pointing out, to finally resolve itself.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Will. It's like, how long can you let those movies sit on the shelf? So, for example, yeah, the James Bond movie has been delayed by, I think they've delayed it until next year, which is MGM's big movie for the year. And that's a really important movie for that studio because that's where they make, that's their most profitable franchise by far. So how long those things can sit on the sidelines, I don't know. Now, the really interesting thing is I've seen a couple of articles that really talk about, you know, you can't just look at the money it makes from this initial run because there's so much additional revenue tied up with movies. So, for example, they were asking questions about, okay, so how interested will somebody that watched Trolls World Tour at home, how interested would they be in buying a digital or physical copy of that? And there is a certain glow, right? When you go see a movie in a theater and you that was months ago, and then you see it released on disc and on digital, and you want to re-experience that pleasure, then that's a big motivator for people to still go and buy that movie and that and re-enjoy it again. So there's a lot of debate about how this impacts that. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at the numbers, Will, and the numbers say that that part of the business is in pretty steep decline anyway. Certainly, the interest in renting movies is really plummeting now. And it's not, and digital is going down too. So what is holding up a little bit is digital purchases, but it is not compensating for the decline in the purchase of discs. So it's really questionable. That side of the business is really questionable anyway. And you know, my thinking here is actually that we haven't explored all the possibilities that there are in PVOD if the movie studios do embrace it and do go that way. So for example, let's say you do a digital release of Trolls World Tour and one of your outlets is Amazon. There is a superb e-tail opportunity here, right? Once people get through watching the movie, do you want to buy a Trolls toy doll? Do you want to buy a Troll t-shirt? Amazon can wrap that all up in a single package and deliver merch sales and probably do a better job at marketing it, because it can strike at precisely the moment when you've watched that movie. And because you watch the movie, it can remind you about it every single time you come into the store. So I really question the whole idea of disabling existing business models, because most of those existing business models are in decline anyway. And this opens up, as I say, a whole bunch of other possibilities. So, I think PVOD is something that the industry has been wrestling with for so long. And the stay-at-home orders is really going to force the industry to go back and look at all their revenue streams, all the revenue streams that are generated by a movie, and really think about how it could impact, how PVOD can impact all those revenue streams. And they're going to find that there is upside and downside, and they have to make a decision on whether they think the upside is worth the risk of the downside. And clearly C-19 and stay-at-home orders is forcing that decision process to happen now, whereas it probably would have taken years to evolve otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the whole virus stay at home is really accelerating things. And, you know, to your point, this is where a company like an Amazon or anybody that can enable those simultaneous revenue streams, again, sort of accelerate what may have happened naturally over a course of years, but to be able to accelerate that to a current time frame, where those companies become really valuable. And, especially when you're looking at kids-oriented movies, where merchandise sales are so important to the overall profitability of a movie, you have to believe that it's just a little bit more appealing to release them digitally. And as you kind of strike while the iron is hot, be able to get those merchandise sales going up front, as opposed to the typical sort of delay and uncertainty about what's going to result down the road, subsequent to the kids having seen the movie and whether something else catches their attention and substitutes out for their desire for merchandise from the movie. So it does seem like there's a pretty big conflict here brewing between the studios and the theaters. And again, with the theaters being closed for now, it does not seem like their leverage is all that great, at least in the current time.
Yeah. And, I do feel for the theater owners. They really are in a difficult situation. And, yeah. the interesting thing, Will, is that the theater owners in the past, when they've been in discussions with the movie studios about the idea of PVOD, they have dug in their heels and said no, but there has been times when they've stepped up and said, well, wait a minute, maybe there is something we can do. I think it was AMC who actually offered, I can't remember if it was at the beginning of 2019 or at the end of 2018, they actually offered, okay, if you want to do PVOD, then do it with us. Let us be the release vehicle for those movies online. We'll be happy to do that. We can share revenue. Everybody wins, blah, blah, blah. And that went nowhere. And the problem is that because that went nowhere, now when we're in a situation like this, the mechanism for releasing these movies is taking advantage of digital stores and digital and people already with a digital presence, which doesn't give the theater owners an opportunity. Imagine what would have happened, Will, if back a year ago the movie industry had come together and said, this is a great idea, let's create this store, it's going to be shared by all the movie theaters, and we're going to split revenue just like we do with the regular theaters. Then we hit this situation. How easy would it have been to switch to a primary focus of being PVOD and still everybody wins? But instead, they dug in their heels, they sat with the old model, and now theater owners really do lose big time.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I mean, it's another example of how nobody was planning or had any sense that we'd have this catastrophic pandemic on our hands. And so the motivation to hammer out those deals in advance was, you know, probably not very strong, or not as strong as it needed to be. So anyway, Colin, I think we're just about out of time, but this is an area really that I think is going to get a lot more attention as we go forward, because the studios have an imperative to try to stay as close to their schedules as possible. And the theater owners obviously have an imperative to protect their business model. So it's a real conflict here.
It sure is. And my betting is that PVOD persists for a long time, and maybe in some shape or form, PVOD's going to be around pretty much permanently from now on. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens when things finally get back to normal.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, Colin, well, good chatting. Stay well. And to all of our listeners, make sure you're staying well, staying safe. And we'll see you again next week on the Video News and Screen Media Podcast.